I don't know a lot about horse racing, but I do know that sometimes trainers and jockeys put blinders on their horses. And so if you don't know what those are those things they kind of wear the cloth fabric thing over their heads, and then the blinders go behind their eyes, you know, kind of right here. And the point is to do that, to blind them to their surroundings so that they can focus on what's ahead of them as they run their race. And so I've, in the little bit of research I did, saw that this depends on the horse. You know, the trainers decide if these are necessary for that particular horse. If that horse is prone to distraction and to looking around it while it's racing, then they put the blinders on so that it can keep its eyes and its mind, therefore, focused on where it needs to go. So in order for a racehorse to run its race well, it has to keep its eyes focused on what's ahead of it and not on the horses around it. So in the passage we're about to read, the very last passage in the Gospel of John, we will see that the Apostle Peter is like a racehorse who needs blinders. I've titled this sermon, The Dangerous Game of Comparison, because that is what Peter starts to do in this passage before Jesus offers him just a gentle, kind rebuke. Peter is distracted by the other apostles around him, even as he's being commissioned by the Lord Jesus to run the race set out for him. He begins to play the dangerous game of comparison. And today, I want to draw out two particular dangers of playing that game. And like I said, we are so much like Peter. And praise the Lord that all these accounts are in there for us because we can see the Lord's grace to him and therefore to us. But two particular dangers of playing this game of comparison. First, comparison destroys genuine community. Comparison destroys genuine community. And the second danger is that comparison hinders our own running. As we've alluded to so far, and as we'll see in a moment, the Lord commissions each of us to run the race, the course set out for us. And if we are comparing ourselves, not only does it destroy community among the church, but it hinders us as we run our race. So before we jump in to our passage, we have to go back just a bit to get a sense of the context for the passage we just read. Okay, so immediately before this, Peter is being restored by Jesus. So remember, it's this beautiful moment where Jesus makes a charcoal fire just like the night where Peter betrayed him. And he comes and he takes Peter and he asks him, "Do you love me?" And three times he asks him this. And Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus commissions him saying, "Feed my sheep." Okay, so you can imagine this kind of intimate moment between Peter and Jesus. It's this big moment. And then it's at the tail end of this conversation, perhaps they're even still making eye contact talking, when you get to verse 20, and it says, Peter turned. Okay, so imagine he's talking to Jesus, and then he turns away from Jesus to do what? To look at someone else, right? To look at the other apostles, namely the apostle whom Jesus loved, who reveals himself to be John at the end of this passage. And so Peter, just in the midst of this conversation with Jesus, he's been restored, he's been commissioned. He takes his eyes off Jesus then, and he turns and looks at John, and he says, "Well, what about him?" It might seem like an innocuous question, harmless. Maybe he's just curious, he wants to know, you know, what's your plan for John here? Right, but Jesus, knowing all things, knowing what is in the heart of men, I think he perceives something else in Peter's question. Something else that's not good. Because how does Jesus respond to him? He says, verse 22, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." I think Jesus perceives Peter beginning to play the dangerous game of comparison. He's just been commissioned, feed my sheep. And now he's already asking about other apostles, comparing. You know, what's your plan for him? John, you told me I'm going to die. Is John going to die? When's he going to die? How's he going to die? You said, feed my sheep. Well, what's John going to do? Is he going to feed other sheep? The same sheep? He going to do something else? Pete, all of that is present in Peter's question. And Jesus' response, if you just boiled it down, is essentially, what is that to you? It doesn't matter. Who cares? Worry about yourself. We have this conversation with our boys all the time. Why didn't you tell so-and-so to do this? So-and-so isn't doing this. And we say all the time, what did I ask you to do? Worry about yourself. Right, Peter begins playing the dangerous game of comparison, and Jesus' reply is simply, stop. Don't worry about it. What is that to you? I have called you to this. I have set your race before you. Therefore, simply run it. Get your eyes off of the other apostles, these other people, and get your eyes on me as you run your race. Now, before we say anything else, just need to pause to make something clear. Jesus is not implying, nor am I saying, that the Christian life is just meant to be this kind of hyper-individualistic endeavor in which we don't care for any others around us, we give no attention to any others around us, it's just simply me and Jesus as I run my race. Okay, that's not what Jesus is getting at here. If you read the whole New Testament, it's clear that the Christian life is meant to be lived in community with one another. In fact, the Christian life is a community project in which we are to exhort and encourage and edify one another as we keep our eyes on the eternal prize of Christ Jesus. So the New Testament knows nothing of this kind of Lone Ranger Christianity. Just think about all of the one another commands we've been talking about in our Connect groups over the past year. Right, the New Testament envisions the Christian life to be lived together in genuine community. So Jesus is not saying you just need to worry about, don't think about anybody else. It's just you and me, Peter. What Jesus is getting at here is that Peter should not play the comparison game, because the comparison game will actually destroy the genuine community that Jesus intends for his church to enjoy together. All right, how so? How does comparison destroy community? Well, what is Peter doing here? He's been commissioned by the Lord, and he asks, well, what about John? And what he's doing, he's comparing himself to John, and then he's making John out to be his rival rather than his teammate. Right? He thinks John is his opponent, like they're on separate teams. Right? When we play the comparison game, when we get caught up in looking around ourselves and comparing ourselves to our brothers and sisters, that's what we are doing. We are making them out to be our rivals rather than our teammates. And genuine community does not exist between rivals. It does exist between teammates, between co-laborers in the kingdom. There is no room for rivalry in the kingdom. In Galatians 5, Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which we know. Well, just before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he gives this whole list of the fruit of the flesh. One of the things he names in the fruits of the flesh is rivalries and dissensions. So Paul is saying that if you are making your brothers and sisters out to be your rivals, your competitors, if you're constantly looking at them and comparing yourselves to them, you are not walking in the Spirit but in the flesh. Right, that's what Peter's doing in this passage. He's looking at John, kind of sizing him up. What's he going to do? How long is he going to be around? What are his skill set? What's his gifting? How's he going to serve Jesus? and Jesus will have none of it. This is Jesus is about to depart, about to ascend to heaven after his resurrection. He knows he's going to pour out his spirit. The church will be born. And it cannot be born from a place of rivalry. It cannot have a crack in the foundation. Because back in John 17, Jesus prayed for his people, and he prayed for their unity. He prayed that they would be one just as he is one with the Father. And he knows that if Peter is consumed with comparing himself to others, then there will be no unity right from the very beginning. We said this in the intro, but it's so easy to rip on Peter, isn't it? There's Peter again. Foolish, silly Peter. And yet, so many of us are doing the exact same thing even this morning that he did in this passage. Right, we walk in the building and immediately begin comparing ourselves to our brothers and sisters. Or we'll go home today and we'll do the exact same thing Peter did. Or we'll get on Facebook or Instagram and we'll look at pictures of our brothers and sisters and we'll, in our own head, begin critiquing or comparing ourselves to them. Right, what does it look like to compare ourselves to others? Well, let's contrast that with genuine community. Okay, so I'm going to name a few things here, and we'll begin with comparison. When we compare, what does that look like? And then we'll contrast that with genuine community. What does it look like to live in genuine community and peace with one another as brothers and sisters? All right, let's name a few things. Comparison is jealous of the accomplishments of others. And no doubt Peter would have been, this is what he had in mind, right? What's John going to do? And if Jesus doesn't shut this down now, Peter's going to see what John does, and he's going to become jealous. By the way, this is so easy to do as pastors. So, just to let you in on it here, it's so easy to do as pastors. It's so easy to go to a pastor's conference and be surrounded by all these other pastors, and then to hear these other pastors preach, and instantly to begin comparing yourself and thinking, I can't preach like that guy. I can't teach like that guy. I don't have a voice like that guy. That guy's so kind and gentle. I could never counsel like that guy. It's so easy to do. And then it's easy to become jealous, right? That's playing the comparison game. That's comparison. What about community? Community doesn't become jealous of the accomplishments of others. Community rejoices in the accomplishments of others. So when you see a brother or sister succeeding in his or her walk with Christ, are you jealous or do you rejoice? If you're jealous, you may be playing the comparison game. Let's go to another one. Comparison. When we play the comparison game, we scoff at the struggling of others. How could he be struggling with that? How could she be, look at her there floundering. How could she be doing that? We're comparing. We're playing the game. Community, meanwhile, bears the burdens of the struggling. Community doesn't say, how can that brother or sister be struggling with that? Community says, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, bear the burdens of one another. When you see your brother or sister struggling with sin, do you scoff at the stupidity of the sin, or do you shoulder the burden with him or her? Right, here's another one. Comparison looks down on those who are weaker or less knowledgeable in the faith. Right, we look around at others. Don't they know this? Maybe it's not sin, but don't they know that? Why don't they share my convictions on this? Community bears with one another and bears with the weak and graciously affords leeway on matters of conviction. So when you see a brother or sister doing something or believing something that isn't sin, but maybe you don't quite agree with it or you don't quite share that same conviction, do you find yourself comparing and looking down upon the weaker brother? Or do you give grace and love and overlook it? All right, just a few more quickly. Comparison is quick to point out the flaws in others, whereas genuine community is quick to point out the good in others. Lastly, comparison insists that everybody should conform to us, whereas community graciously gives allowance and Christian freedom. Right? Do you see the contrast? Comparison, if we play that game, is going to eat away at community. Right? It would have eaten away at the community in the early church between the apostles, and it will do the same to us here today. Right? The comparison will destroy the genuine community in which we are intended to live as God's people. That's the first danger. The second danger is that comparison will hinder our running. So Jesus has a specific course here laid out for Peter, down to the details of Peter's death. Right, the Bible says God has our days numbered. He knows our days. We don't. He does. He has our course laid out for us. Jesus commissions Peter, feed my sheep. The time Peter doesn't know what that all means. I don't know what that means, Jesus. I just know I'm supposed to feed your sheep. So I'm just going to go on with my life, and I'm going to seek to do that. Which isn't that how often our life feels? We don't know all the details of our course, do we? We know the generalities. We are called to serve the Lord, to put away sin, to pursue Jesus, to love our families, work hard for the glory of God. And the particulars, we kind of find out as we go. But there's a unique course laid out for Peter. Okay, and Peter is he's an individual. He's a unique conglomeration of personality and giftings and skills and experiences and circumstances. And as such, there's a very specific course laid out for him. And Peter asks, what about John? And Jesus essentially answers, don't worry about him. Why? He's a different person. He's a different skill set, different personality, different giftings, different life circumstances. Everything about him is different. I have my own course laid out for him. Don't worry about it. But if Peter is consumed with John and how John is running his race, how effective is Peter going to be at running his own race? He'll be like a horse in a horse race without blinders, looking around, right? Not running as fast as he could. When you watch track and field in the Olympics, there's a reason you almost never see runners stop and look around them. They might be aware of the others around them, but they're not stopping to look. Why? Their eyes are on the prize. Right? Peter is like a runner, looking over his shoulder to see where the other runners are, see how fast they're running, to see what their race strategy might be. That will slow him down. It's not going to allow him to run his race. Right? You and I have been given a specific race. A course has been laid out for each of us. The Lord has numbered our days. We don't know it, but he does. We don't know the particulars, but we know the generalities. Right? Earlier in this text, it talks about Jesus telling, this is verse 19, Jesus said to this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Well, Peter doesn't know all the details, but he knows this. The course of his life is to glorify God by feeding his sheep. Right? That is the course for each of us, to glorify God by serving the Lord in the specific areas and places he puts us. And so you may even be wondering, well, what is my course? What is it? I need to know that first. Again, we don't know the particulars. What we know is this. The Lord has called you to serve him and follow him and glorify him where he has put you in that moment. So if you find yourself a parent of children, that's your course. If you find yourself working a job, that is your course. Whatever your circumstances are, that is the course the Lord has given you at the moment. And he is calling you to be faithful to him in that, to serve him and glorify him. Every single one of us is a unique blend of personality and gifts and skills and experiences and circumstances. Why would we try to run somebody else's race? And yet we do all the time, don't we? Again, how often do we look around and compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters, thinking, if I just had that skill, or if I just had was gifted like that person, or if I didn't have this circumstance in my life, and had this person's circumstance, then I could serve the Lord better. That's not the course he's laid out for you. We play the comparison game, and we look around us comparing, and we get discouraged. Well, I'm not as fast as that guy. I'm not as skilled as that guy. If you find yourself discouraged because you compare yourself to others, don't be. I know some of you are not able to come to church as often as you'd like because you're caring for sick family members, and you've expressed that. That's the course the Lord has for you now. And we know you'd love to be here, and we would love it too, and yet the Lord has called you to a certain thing at a certain point in your life, and so serve the Lord in that and glorify him in that. And let us rejoice and cheer you on and run with you as you fix your eyes on Jesus. Some of you aren't able to serve the church in the manner you'd like because of the circumstances of your life. Run the race the Lord has put before you. Do not be discouraged, but simply run the race he has given to you. Run it fast, run it well, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because you will not be effective in it if you're consumed by looking at others. We can be discouraged as we compare ourselves to others. That hinders us from running our race. Or we can look down upon others as they run their race because they're not running as fast as we are or running in the same way that we are. That hinders them. It hinders ourselves from running. Like we said, we have an obligation to bear with the failings or the struggles of the weak. You know, living out the Christian life is just ridiculously complex, isn't it? And each of us is walking through life trying our best to serve the Lord. And to in any given situation, think, what is going to honor the Lord here? What is his will? What does his word say? And how can I do the right thing to serve the Lord here? All right, we're faced with difficult decisions with no clear right answer, and so we end up doing what we think is best to serve the Lord and honor him, and we're all doing that all the time in our lives as we seek to run our race, and it is so easy to then look down upon our brothers and sisters and say, why did he make that decision? Why did she do that? Well, perhaps he or she is just merely trying to serve the Lord the best he or she can. There is a place for correction and rebuke and reproof. But it's not when a brother or sister is merely running slower or differently than we are. The time for correction and rebuke is when a brother or sister is clearly living in sin or clearly living in violation of clear scriptural commands. The Lord has set a course for each of us, and the goal is not to compete against brothers and sisters, but to encourage them and to help one another. Again, the Christian life is a community project, and our brothers and sisters are not our competitors or our rivals, right? They are our teammates. And their course may be different, but the end goal is the same, to achieve the end goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus and to be joined to him in resurrection. The end goal is to simply make it home, to finish the race. 10 years ago, I ran a Tough Mudder. You may have heard of these. A Tough Mudder is a race that's 10 to 12 miles filled with all kinds of obstacles and mud and electricity. Don't ask me why I put myself through that. I was going to run it with a friend, and then he backed out of me, so I ended up being by myself. But so I ran this race, and to call it a race is really a misnomer because it's not a race. You're not keeping time, and it's not really a competition. You see, in the Tough Mudder, there's this ethos like the military of no man left behind. The goal isn't to have the best time or to leave your competitors behind you in your dust. The goal is simply to finish the race and to make sure everybody else finishes the race as well. And so there are obstacles that are set up to be overcome only with the help of others. And there are portions of the race where you're running, I'm running my course, and at this point I find myself running next to somebody else. And so at that point, we are helping each other to overcome the obstacles. Why? So we can both finish the race. Now, that is what the Christian life is like. It is a race, but it is not as though we are competing against our brothers and sisters, leaving them in our dust. We are running as individuals the race set before us to achieve the upward goal of the call of Christ Jesus. And the goal is to get there and for everybody else to get there as well, to finish the race, not constantly comparing ourselves to others. Look how slow that guy's running. Why can't he do that obstacle? I'll just keep running. He's on his own to do it. As we run this race of the Christian life, we find ourselves at different points running alongside different brothers or sisters. And at this point in your life, if you're in the room here this morning, you are running alongside the brothers and sisters who are here in the room and who are a part of Haven Heights Baptist Church. If you've been here a few months, you're running alongside them for a few months. If you've been here years, then years. If you've been here for 40 years, like some of you have, then you are running alongside these brothers and sisters for that time. And so as we do so, as we each individually run the course the Lord has set for us, just like the Lord commissioned Peter to do, we are to do so, fixing our eyes on Jesus, yes, and then helping and running alongside our brothers and sisters. And at times helping them, at times bearing their burdens that they can't bear alone, rebuking or correcting when necessary when there's obvious sin present, at times even slowing down a bit to run alongside those who need the encouragement, other times perhaps speeding up some and calling others to come alongside and to pick up the pace as well. Right? We are running the race together in genuine community. The Lord has set a course for each of us, and we are running it as individuals, but we are running it as individuals in community. And the goal is not just that you and I would finish the race, but that all of us would as well, as we live in genuine community. And if we don't, if we are constantly comparing ourselves to others, we will destroy that very community and will hinder our own running. We won't run our race as fast or as well or as faithful, and we'll hinder our brothers and sisters from doing the same. Let me close with this question. As we think about this, the dangerous game of comparison, and we wonder, am I playing that game? Has comparison crept into my life in an unhealthy way? I think this question helps us to discern that. Here it is. As you follow Jesus and live out your Christian life, are you more concerned with how others are following Jesus than with how you are following Jesus? It's not that we're not concerned with others at all, but are you more concerned with how others are following Jesus and running their race than you are with how you are following Jesus and running your own race? As we consider these things this Christmas season, let's together fix our eyes on Jesus. And even as we partake of the Lord's Supper together this morning, let us repent of the comparison game we sometimes play. And let us together fix our eyes on Jesus.